Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few moments, I'm going to give you a cordial invitation to listen up. Listen to the teaching of the Word of God. There will be no games and no gimmicks. There will be no hidden agendas because we are not trying to sell you anything. We're not trying to recruit you or coerce you into doing anything. I just simply want to give you truth. Truth that hopefully will help you verify and identify the plan of God for your life. And if in fact you can do that, you can orient and adjust to the plan. That's up to you. But this show, called The Flatline, is heard across the United States on this morning in many radio stations. It's my privilege to broadcast them from my offices way back over in the state of Alabama. And we've been on the air now for over 500 Sundays, broadcasting The Flatline. FLOT is indeed a military term. It stands for the forward line of troops. And what we're trying to show is that using this military analogy, you can establish and maintain a forward line of troops in your soul by learning 10 unique problem-solving devices. When you learn those problem-solving devices and use them, then you may in fact be able to stop the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside sources of stress. Adversity, as always, is inevitable. We're in the devil's world, but stress is optional. Because we do not have to worry, we do not have to be afraid, we do not have to be bitter, we do not have to have regret, we do not have to go through all of these emotional, mental attitude sins. There's a better way to live, and it is simply the Christian life. Again, my name is Rick Hughes, and I am the host, but keep in mind, I'm not a pastor. It's not my job to be a pastor, but I pray that I can direct you to a qualified pastor. I pray that you'll take an interest in the Word of God by listening to me teach, and that you will find that you need to hear it on a daily basis, and that you will make an effort to take in God's Word every day under some man somewhere who has the gift of pastor-teacher, so that he can in fact instruct you, guide you, feed you, watch over you, and make sure that you grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I think back into my early days of my Christian life, and I met so many people, and I thought they were spiritual. And I really didn't know what spirituality was. And so I want to ask you today a simple question. What is spirituality? What is spirituality? That's right, spirituality. Could you identify a spiritual Christian? I mean, would you identify a spiritual Christian by the way they look? Do they have some sort of holy look to them? It's true, I've been in a lot of restaurants all over the country, and I can almost tell a pastor when he walks in. I mean, there's a certain way that he dresses, there's a certain way that he looks and talks, there's a gait about him, and you can almost say, I'm willing to bet that man's a pastor. Does that mean he's spiritual? Is it spirituality based on how we dress? Is it spirituality based on asceticism? You say, what's asceticism? It's extreme self-denial. Doing without. Are you spiritual because you don't drink? Are you spiritual because you don't smoke? Are you spiritual because you don't dance? What exactly is a spiritual Christian? I mean, are you spiritual because you have a super excited personality that's upbeat all the time and you are, quote, in love with Jesus? Is it based on the clothes that you wear? That you have some dark clothes and a somber attitude and a serious demeanor all the time? That you walk around quoting and uttering super spiritual phrases all day long, like Lord willing and God bless you and have a blessed day? Does that mean a person is spiritual? What exactly is spirituality? And are you a spiritual person? Not, I don't mean do you like to talk about the spirit world. That's not what I mean. As far as the Bible goes, are you a spiritual person? Well, let me see if I can give you some answers. First of all, spirituality, what is it? Number one, it's a relationship with God the Holy Spirit. And how do we get God the Holy Spirit? Well, we receive Him at salvation. Anytime anyone believes in Jesus Christ and receives Him as their Savior, Ephesians 1:13 comes into play. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after you believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So the Holy Spirit of promise, this is the promise that Jesus gave in John 16, 7 through 15. He promised that He would send the Holy Spirit if He went away. And the Holy Spirit was there to be our tutor and our mentor, just as Christ was when He was present with the disciples. And now that He would be crucified and buried and resurrected, the Holy Spirit would come and He would abide with them and live in them and seal them. And so you and I are sealed by the Holy Spirit, but that sealing does not mean we're spiritual. The sealing simply means that no one can take away our salvation. It's sort of like when you can something, and in the old days you would seal it with paraffin wax across the top and it would remain fresh until you broke the wax. Or today maybe we use a vacuum seal. The Holy Spirit guarantees our salvation. He seals it until God comes to retrieve it, the Bible says. So, as a Christian, at salvation, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. But the Bible also says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, don't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? So, not only are you sealed at the moment of salvation, but you are indwelled by the Holy Spirit as well. He lives in you. This was promised. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, not 6:19, but 3:16, do you know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? And then the Bible goes on to say, if any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, and you are the temple. Now, this is pretty strange. You are the temple. In the Old Testament, the Jews built a tabernacle, and the Lord Jesus Christ led them through the wilderness as a pillar of fire by night and a cloud during the day. And in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies, is where the Spirit of God resided. Now you are the temple today. Jesus Christ lives in you, inside of you. You are a holy object of God if you're a Christian. Maybe you've never thought about it that way. You are the temple, and Christ has set up a tent inside of you. He's living in you. And the Holy Spirit allows that to happen. So when we allow unconfessed sin to remain in our bodies, we're setting ourselves up for an early death, because we're the temple of God, and sin must be dealt with on the believer's part. Yes, we are still Christians, and yes, we sin. When we become Christians, we don't get rid of our sin nature. It's not going away and we never sin anymore. Listen, the Bible says if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But Romans 8:13 says, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you will put to death the deeds of the body by means of the Spirit, you will live. What that simply means is this. When you allow arrogance to permeate your life, you will go from self-deception to self-destruction. You will go from self-deception to self-destruction. You will deceive yourself. You will justify what you're doing is okay. And eventually, by rejection of the authority of the Word of God, You will take yourself out too soon, and that shouldn't happen. God has a wonderful plan for you, a plan for you to stay around a long time. But all he asks is that you be obedient. If you love me, 1 John 5:3, you will obey me, and my mandates are not grievous. Those are the words of God. If you love me, you will obey me, and my mandates are not grievous. So we are commanded in the Bible to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. And that, in the nuance of the Greek New Testament, is not a request, that's a command. In Galatians 5:16, we are told to walk by means of the Spirit. And again, that is an imperative mood verb, a command. And then in Romans 13:14, we're told to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Another command. So that means that at some point of time, you must decide to no longer let your flesh control you. You have a choice. You can make that decision. You must decide somewhere. Am I going to be a spiritually mature believer, or am I going to stay an infant believer and dabble in the flesh and let the flesh control me? You see, spirituality is a status. It occurs when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Carnality is a status. It occurs when you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, but rather you're allowing your old sin nature to control your life. So spirituality is absolute. You're not almost spiritual, partially spiritual, practically spiritual. You're either spiritual or you're carnal. There are no in-betweens. It's just that simple. Spirituality is an absolute, not a matter of degrees. Bill is not more spiritual than Bob. Maybe Bill talks more spiritual than Bob. He walks more spiritual than Bob. He acts more spiritual than Bob, but that does not mean he's more spiritual. Either you have the filling of the Holy Spirit or you don't. You're either 100% spiritual or you're 100% carnal. You're either controlled by your flesh or you're controlled by the Holy Spirit. There are no in-betweens and no degrees. You see, the Bible uses this analogy of light and darkness in 1 John 1:5-10. It says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. But if we walk in darkness, that's the carnality. See, as a Christian, you can walk in the light. Being in the light, let's assume you walk into a room and the room is brilliantly bright. There are no windows, but there are lights overhead, and you walk in and it's brilliantly bright. And then you throw the switch and it goes from light to dark. That's what happens when you sin. You're walking in the light under the filling of the Holy Spirit. But when you use your volition to decide to sin, then you've thrown the switch and moved into darkness. It's not a gray area. It's an absolute. Spirituality occurs when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And that happens at the moment that you confess your sin to God, not before. Growth is relative. Spirituality is an absolute. So you may be a spiritual Christian, but you are not a mature Christian. A spiritually mature Christian is a person who's filled with the Holy Spirit and a person who has learned God's word, cycled it through his stream of conscience, and lives and applies it in his life on a daily basis. That's a spiritually mature person. Billy Graham cannot be any more spiritual than you. If he's filled with the Spirit and you're filled with the Spirit, then you're both spiritual. But he may be more mature than you because he may have more content of the Word of God in his soul than you do. So the spiritual believer will grow because he sees the need to grow. But a carnal believer that's controlled by his sin nature, he's not going to grow because he doesn't see the need to grow. He will stay on the my way highway. So can you tell if you are a spiritual Christian? Is it something you can feel? Is it something that you sense that you're really spiritual? The answer is no, it's not an emotional feeling. It's not where you feel closer to God. I mean, you can go to a worship service and you can sing praises to God and you can cry, but that doesn't mean you're any closer to God than when you walked in there. It just means your emotions were titillated. You got fired up. You felt God. I've heard pastors say, God was with us tonight. We felt him. Well, if God is immanent and transcendent and omnipresent, and he's with us wherever we go, whether we feel him or not. So when you leave that building and all the lights are shut off, there's just as much God in that building then as there was during that praise and worship service. Still the same amount of God. So you see how the emotions can trick us. Is it necessary? Is it necessary for me to recognize that I am filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, you need to recognize there's no unconfessed sin in your life, yes. But as far as the feeling goes, no. As long as you fulfill the biblical mandates, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even if you don't recognize it. I've had people that I've met that had been rebounding, problem-solving device number one. They've been rebounding their sins for a long time, but they didn't know what to call it, but they were actually using that principle in their life. And when they sinned, they would confess their sin to God. Now, they may wait until they went to bed at night, and that's a mistake. Why would you wait until you go to bed at night to turn the lights back on? I mean, if the lights go out when you sin, shouldn't you confess your sin immediately to turn the lights back on? Yes. So as long as we fulfill these mandates and we admit our sin, as in 1 John 1:9, then we might not even realize we're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotional feeling. Now, there are characteristics that spiritual Christians manifest. These are taught in Galatians 5:22 and called the fruit of the Spirit. Love is one of them, and that's the word agapao or agape in the Greek New Testament. And remember, there are two types of love. There is personal love for God. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. And then there's impersonal love for others, where the Bible says love your enemies. Now, how am I going to love an enemy? How am I going to do good to them that persecute me? That's impersonal love. That's you loving someone based on your character, not theirs. I mean, after all, isn't this what God did for you when the Bible says God so loved the world? Did he love you based on his character or your character? Because you were a sinner. You were lost in your sin and your trespasses. You could not make your way to God. The Bible says there are none that are righteous, not even one. All of our righteousnesses would be a filthy rag in God's eyes. So he made his way to you. You didn't make your way to him. He did it with impersonal love. He loved you based on his character, even though you weren't lovable to his righteousness and his justice. Joy is another fruit of the Spirit. It's sharing the happiness of God. Luke 11:27-28 says, happiness belong to those who hear my Father's word and keep it. So the true secret to being happy in life is not spending money you don't have to buy things you don't need. That's not it. That can just be a narcotic to deaden the pain of your empty life. True happiness in life is you learning God's word and applying God's word. Another fruit of the Spirit is peace. That's the inner stability that you have where you don't have to worry and you don't have to be afraid. And long-suffering is used here. And that's the word for patience, perseverance. So as a believer who is filled with the Holy Spirit and growing in grace, you can have patience and perseverance Gentleness, goodness, another two words. Gentleness, it means you're not overbearing or rude or impetuous. And goodness, that means you have divine good production in your life, not human good. That's wood, hay, and stubble, as per 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 16. But divine good, that's the gold, the silver, and the precious stones. And then faith and meekness and temperance, self-control, humility, all of these things are manifested traits of Jesus Christ himself. And they are exposed in the spiritual believer's life. You see, the Holy Spirit-controlled believer will grow spiritually in his spiritual life, and he will demonstrate these things. Remember this, the power for the Christian life is in the power of the Holy Spirit. But the choice to be filled by the Holy Spirit, the choice to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, that's your power. You make that decision. When you decide to go negative and sin, you chose to sin. When you choose to confess your sin and rebound, you make that decision. Your volition is what controls you. There is no easy way out of that. I mean, we are a product of our decisions. God gave us the free will to choose. Some people choose for Christ. Some people choose against him. They chose. And God gives us as believers the right to choose to obey him or not obey him. But there are consequences. Consequences if you reject Christ. That's the lake of fire. Consequences if we don't obey him. That's divine discipline. So you see, the spiritual Christian is going to go through several stages on the road to heaven. He's going to go through an infant stage where he's just gotten saved, but he's easily distracted. He's going to go through the adolescent stage where he's easily misled because he assumes he knows it all now. He's been studying his Bible for 6 months. And then there's the maturity stage. And this is where he begins to get some knowledge. This is where he begins to understand the mechanics to the Christian life. Mechanics. I'm going to say it again. Mechanics. There are mechanics to living the Christian life. You can't make the rules up as you go along. There are mechanics. A right thing must be done in a right way. Knowledge, that you understanding the mechanics. Wisdom, that you applying the mechanics. Faith, that you trusting the mechanics. Grace, that's how God supplies them to you. And production, that's what you do when you use them. So all of these things God has made available to you. You know, a newborn Christian can lead another person to Christ. I mean, I did it, and the night I got saved, I led someone else to Christ. But I'm not going to have maximum production in my life until I grow and become a little bit more mature. So we need to get back to biblical-based theology. We need to get back to proper procedure. Problem is, we're just too dang lazy. And we wind up doing right things, but we wind up doing them wrong ways. I mean, have you ever done this? Have you ever put something together and then find out you did it backwards? Or you left something out? You didn't take time to follow the instructions on Christmas morning or with a child's birthday gift, and you put it together and it was wrong? So I don't need those instructions. Well, see, a lot of Christians are like that. All need those instructions. And they think they can make it work. The character of God is just. And you can't make up the rules. You either live the way he said live, or you live under discipline. But a right thing has to be done in a right way. Remember the illustration of prayer. There's nothing wrong with praying. If you don't pray the right way, it's not going to be answered. Because the Bible said in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So let's review something now before we stop. Spirituality is a term used for the filling of the Holy Spirit. So if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you're spiritual. How would you know you were filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, because there's no unconfessed sin in your life. Well, how would you know you've confessed all your sins? When you name the sins you're aware of, even the ones you're not aware of, God cleanses you from them. Listen to the verse. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and purify us from all wrongdoing, even the ones you don't remember. So stop for a minute. Have you committed a sin today? A mental attitude sin? A sin of the tongue? Or even an outward, overt sin? Did you go to your Father and admit it? Because if you didn't, you're not spiritual. You're carnal. You're out of fellowship. You use your volition to go negative to God. But if you will go now and confess that sin to God, you won't feel it happen. It won't be an emotional thing. You will be filled with the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. Therefore, we have unconfessed sin in our life. We're not spiritual, but carnal. And we can move from spirituality to carnality in one short second. Either we are filled with the Holy Spirit and controlled by the Holy Spirit, or we're filled with the old sin nature and controlled by the old sin nature. But spiritual growth is a different thing. Spiritual growth is relative. Spirituality is absolute. You're either spiritual or carnal. But spiritual growth, or the word maturity, that's a different story because there are different stages. There are baby Christians, there are student Christians, there are mature Christians. I don't know where you are, but I know that it's only going to be achieved through the filling of the Holy Spirit. So none of our invisible power assets will function when we're carnal, when we're in the flesh, when we're out of fellowship. But if we stay in fellowship, then all of the assets God has provided for us, they are available. And we can become spiritually mature believers. Remember, spirituality is related to the filling of the Holy Spirit, and it's absolute. And maturity is related to the content of the Word of God in your soul, and that's relative. We'll talk more about it. I hope you're listening. I hope you're learning. If you have a question, just contact me. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.